All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us here at Nashville Super Speedway. We've now been joined by Denny Hamlin and Corey Heim. And Denny, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for some exciting news today.
Yeah. As you've seen in the social post here just recently, but Corey Heim officially will be driving our third car next year. I think numbers probably still TBD, or we're getting close on that.
I don't want to be the one to say it in case
he's requested a few numbers, and I'm like, no, that team's holding on to that one, and this one's holding on to that one, but we're working through that. But obviously a proud moment for him, and I was just telling him back there the moment I got announced for JGR and my full-time ride back in Texas in 2005. It was a big moment, and hope it is for him as well. Obviously very well-deserved, and for our company, you know, it's generational drivers only come by every now and then, and I firmly believe that we have one here. So I'm really excited about what he's going to bring our team and the performance that he's going to bring, and obviously his work ethic is very, very good, and looking forward to working with him in the future.
All right, and Corey, you're obviously a proven winner in the NASCAR garage, but coming off this news, what does this mean for your career, and how are you feeling at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it means the world to me. You know, I've been a part of 2311 Racing for a couple years now on a part-time basis, and, you know, I firmly believe that as a driver, you just have to be around the right people to succeed. You know, I've been driving in NASCAR the last 3 or 4 years, and even in the trucks, I felt like I was with the right people, and we did the right things, and you know, it's so important to have the right group around you to succeed. And I've only started, I think, 10 races of 2311 Racing, but you know, I really feel like that is my home, and these people treat me very well. Obviously, their equipment speaks for itself, so just so thankful for everyone there, Denny, MJ, Toyota, see Tyler Gibbs here, so thankful for those guys as well to you know, give me the pathway to this to the best of their ability. And yeah, I'm just super excited. You know, this is something I've been sitting on for a little while, and just means the world to me. You know, I've always wanted to be a Cup driver ever since I've been a kid, and finally get that news out and get to start preparing, you know, with my 2311 Racing folks for next year. Just super pumped. Can't wait.
All right. We'll go ahead and go to the media for questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll work to get a microphone to you. Please note this will serve as Denny Hamlin's bullpen appearance for today. So if you have a question, please use this time to ask it. And we'll start up front with John.
John Newby, FanBus. So two quick ones. First off, so it is TBD, because I know the press release had mentioned the 35.
Oh, okay. Is there that what it is? All right. I believe that.
All right, perfect. And then the other question is, this is for both of you. Obviously, you backloaded Corey's schedule with 8 more starts this year. After leading the laps at Texas, showing some of the things he's shown, you know, from both of you, what are you trying to achieve over these next 8 weeks to fully, you know, hit the ground running next year?
Well, from the scheduling standpoint, a lot of it is just trying to hit some of these racetracks that, you know, either doesn't have a lot of laps on, or things like that. And we felt like it was a good workload for our race team. Obviously, we don't have full-time teams. So, you know, we're pulling a lot of guys from within the shop and things like that to when we field this fourth car. And we knew we weren't going to have 4 long-term, so it's hard to, you know, we don't want to have to hire and then not. So it just worked out good in that sense, and I thought it was a good enough of a sample size this year to allow him to feel confident when he goes into next year that, all right, I've got enough reps on all the types of racetracks that he's going to face next year. And so I think that it just worked out for us that way, and then, you know, he had some input on tracks that he would like to run as well.
Yeah, I think on my side, I actually had a really good chat with Dave Rogers the other week, and he was telling me, like, man, this is a notebook year for you. Don't be afraid to take these bigger risks and, you know, figure out how to do the hard things and make mistakes this year so next year you can be prepared for things like that and learn lessons, you know. So not that I'm trying to go out and find the limit and, you know, I guess knock the wall down every week by any means, but I can, you know, that helped me feel more confident that I can, you know, take these bigger risks and figure it out. A lot of guys, I feel like, in their first couple years, whether it's Cup, Xfinity, O'Reilly, or truck, you know, they find out how to push the limit by finding the limit, you know, and I think this is a year for me that I can do that. But also just be able to, like Denny said, just hit these tougher racetracks and also some racetracks I have more experience at to help me build off of that. Like this track is my third start here in Nashville, and I've run Kansas a couple times too. So a good mixed bag of tracks that I've run before and I can build off of, but also some new tracks that I can, you know, help build that notebook for me.
All right, we're going to go to Trenton. Go ahead.
Trenton Washington, franchise.com. This could be for both of you. I'm just curious about the process of patience, preparation, behind the scenes. You know, I know, Corey, you might have been eager to get into a cup car. Danny, you recognize his talent. You called him a generational talent. You know, just behind the scenes, the process of this coming together with the patience and planning behind the scenes, you know, what's that been like for you guys?
Well, from my standpoint, he was extremely, extremely patient, you know, which is, in my mind, that just shows the maturity that he has. It's well beyond his age. I think he shows it on the racetrack and obviously off the racetrack, making the decision to, you know, I'm going to be with you guys long term. And I got to wait a little bit. I got to wait a little bit. And so, you know, we certainly do appreciate that, you know, very similar to, you know, when I saw Tyler Reddick and wanted to get Tyler Reddick, I knew I needed to get Corey and just had to figure it out, however it was going to work. And at that time, you know, we don't know, you know, whether, you know, there was going to be a limit on 3 charters, 4 charters, things like that. And so now that, you know, that got finished and we know, all right, we can only be 3, then, you know, this is a decision that we made, and certainly feel very optimistic about kind of what Corey can bring to the team. So it took a lot of patience, and he was very patient with us, but you know, he'll get the payoff in the long run.
All right.
Without getting too into specifics, just to add off that, you know, I think 2311 is a very, just such a structured race team in their preparation. And, you know, with me working with some different truck teams and other cup teams along my route to 2311 racing, I just felt like the moment I had prepared for my first race at Nashville in 24, you know, I just always felt like this is the most prepared race team that I've ever worked for, or I guess worked with. And it just felt like a home to me. It always felt like everyone was just super motivated, just very welcoming when I raced my first race with these guys, and just their preparation is top notch. You know, I felt so confident going into that race, and everyone was just, you know, firing all cylinders. So to me, it was an easy decision to proceed to work with them for the long term.
All right, we're going to go to Zach and then Kelly.
Zach Sterniello, NASCAR.com. Denny, first for you, I am curious. You know, you said that there was a lot of upside for Corey right from the jump. What have you seen this year specifically that has kind of gave you even further confidence in his ability once he gets in behind the wheel full-time in the Cup Series?
Well, I mean, one of the tough parts about his schedule is he has to go out first for qualifying every time. And, you know, it just has been bad luck. This is actually the first week he actually won't have to. Maybe he doesn't have to anyway, but it's just, so he's always up against it. You know, he's you know, has, you know, a very developmental pit crew. You know, usually has to start in the back of the pack because of his draw and things like that. So it's always putting him behind the gun every time we send him to the racetrack, and he still finds a way to make it, you know, up towards the front. So that to me just shows that, you know, once he's full-time and got all the resources that he needs, that he's going to succeed.
And then, Corey and Denny, I'm curious on your thoughts on this too, but from your perspective, Corey, not being behind the wheel every week this season, and then jumping in the car full-time 38 weeks in 2027, how much of an adjustment is that for you that you're going to have to prepare for?
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the seat more than people realize. You know, I've been fortunate to be able to do some wheel force testing with Toyota this year. So I've got, I think, 6 of those tests on top of some truck racing and some late model racing. You know, it may not be as valuable as straight up cup starts by any means, but it just keeps me in the seat and keeps me prepared. So I've got a really solid schedule regardless of only my 12 cup starts this year. And it also gives me a little bit of an opportunity to kind of debrief a little longer on a race. You know, guys that are rookies this year or last year, I've kind of wondered, I'm like, dang, you guys have a fast turnaround to think about what just happened. I mean, you're drinking through a fire hose as far as all these new things that are happening in the race. And you have like 2 days or maybe a day to kind of debrief and soak it all in until you have to start preparing for the next one. So this kind of every 2 to 3 week cup race schedule for me has given me a chance to kind of just think about what just happened and then, you know, give me some extra time to prepare for the next one. So, you know, honestly, I was a little, I wouldn't say worried about, you know, being out of the seat as much as I am this year, but I was definitely, it's a thought that was going on in my head. But as I've kind of gotten in the groove here, I do think it's actually a little more healthy just to have that time to debrief and then prepare a little longer.
All right, Kelly, go ahead.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Denny, going back to what you said a minute ago about you knew you needed to get Corey. He's been in the Toyota pipeline now for a number of years. You as a driver to driver, when was the moment or what did you see that when the light bulb went off of, okay, I have to, he's mine, I have to get him?
I mean, it was before his historic season last year. I don't know, 23, 24, somewhere in that range. It's probably 2023, so like, yeah, it's been a long time. And I knew that, you know, he had went through the Toyota pipeline, which is, you know, this is another great sign of the investment that they're putting into their drivers and their programs from the dirt tracks to the small cars tour, to all the way up to the Cup Series. You know, this is what it's, that's what that pipeline is meant to do, is you know, feed these Cup teams, these young stars that are coming up, and certainly he's going to be a success story again from that. So it was many, many years ago, and mostly it was just the race craft in general. It wasn't speed or finishes or anything like that. Very similar to Tyler in the sense that I know when his vehicle's in a certain position, that's a very vulnerable position, and he still finds a way to get out of it and make a move on whoever he's trying to pass. And it's like, that's really, really, I know moves that are difficult to make, and, you know, the great ones find ways to make them and make it look easy when I know it's not.
All right, we're going to go to Chris and then Lee. Go ahead, Chris.
ChrisNightGetChance.com. Denny, with today's announcement, is there any possibility that Corey's 12-race schedule can be expanded to prepare him for next year?
Well, we've kind of just already planned that out, and it's hard to add, you know, late some things, and, you know, we're obviously trying to get him as many starts and, you know, some other vehicles, you know, whether it be trucks or whatever we can. But the Cup schedule, I mean, again, like you talked about with kind of the turnaround and stuff, it makes it very, very difficult to just add another race. And so that part would be challenging. Doesn't mean we're not going to try, but certainly it'll be challenging.
All right, Lee, go ahead.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM, NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Corey, I'm kind of asking about your patience. How did you learn patience at such a young age? Because so many of the young kids that want to be where you're going, they're so impatient. But from the moment that we met you at the TPC Center, you would do whatever it took and just kind of buckle down and did what you needed to do for this moment.
I don't know. I've always felt like I've really just gone with my gut. You know, I've always tried to prioritize surrounding myself with good people. I think that's very important in this sport. People that believe in you and people that want you to succeed as well as themselves. And ever since I've been with Toyota, I think 2020 was my first year, I've always just felt so welcomed into that program and gotten along with everyone over at that side so well. And always just never felt like they were going to do me wrong or put me in a bad position. I always felt like they wanted me to succeed. So there was never any reason for me to go anywhere else. You know, I've always just felt like they've done everything in their power to, you know, put me in the best position in my career. And then, of course, you know, when I signed with 2311 Racing, I felt like prior to that, it was the same feeling. You know, as I mentioned earlier, preparing for my first race here 2 years ago at Nashville, everyone in that building, I felt like they wanted me to succeed and put me in the best position to do so. And for me, it's just made too much sense to go anywhere else, you know. So between Toyota and 2311 Racing, I definitely feel at home. And just once again, I just feel like everyone mutually wants each other to succeed. Everyone's lifting each other up. And even on the bad days, I feel like we can, you know, take that on the chin and move on. So, yeah, just definitely feel like I'm in a good spot for sure.
All right. Go ahead. Good.
Richard Allen, MotorsportsReport.net. Denny, with your experience and all that, not just with Corey, but all throughout the garage area, how much do you enjoy being a mentor to the young guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. I would say that, truthfully, of the 2311 guys, I probably have the most conversation with. He asked me the most. Tyler's probably second. And then it's for very distant third and fourth from there. So we interact a lot, and certainly we bounce, you know, different stuff. We're in the back talking about, did you fight this week or not? Or you know, because I think that we have similar styles of, you know, what we want out of our race cars. And certainly when I listen to you know, maybe some struggles that Corey has, or Tyler or Bubba or those guys, on a weekly basis, I think there are team's advantages that I know what they're talking about, and then either can prompt them on, you know, did you try this, try that, or then I challenge the crew chiefs to, I think you need to work on this to fix that problem. It has worked for us. So it's really a big advantage that those guys have over there, and it is for me as well to be able to kind of listen to them and hear their feedback. So it's a good working relationship right now, and Corey is someone that, you know, I communicate with regularly on a weekly basis about our cars and what we're feeling.
And Corey, you mentioned drinking through a fire hose. Describe Denny as a teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everything's just very transparent. You know, I think it definitely helps that, you know, 2311 Racing and JGR have that alliance, so we don't have to hide anything per se. But yeah, anytime I have any questions, I feel like Denny gives me a very elaborate and, you know, thorough answer on that. And I feel like, you know, there's some drivers that, I mean, obviously it helps that he has ownership in the team and everything, but some drivers are very closed off, not current teammates, but like prior teammates that have had, just don't seem to want to share information if they feel like it's an advantage for them. But it's just nice to know that Denny, as a competitor and also my boss, you know, he's able to still give me those thorough answers to help me out on a weekly basis. And I feel like it's definitely just one of, if not the best resources to have to just continue my development and continue learning, which also played into my decision to be here.
All right, we're going to Jordan and then Zach for a follow-up. If I can get a microphone to Jordan up front. Thank you.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. I have two questions. Denny, what is it like having a driver now who's 22 years younger than you?
Holy cow. It's so interesting. It's like, I think when I was his age, I was still running like eighth place in limited late models. Like it was, you know, while it seems like, oh, he's been on this trajectory for so long to be in this position, it's like, man, still far ahead of where I was at this point. So it is, it's wild. I mean, I've been in the Cup Series pretty much since he's been born. So it is, it's wild to know that we still get to go out there and compete. So, you know, it's going to be fun next year to share the racetrack with him on a full-time basis, knowing that, you know, this is someone that, you know, has been alive and seen pretty much all of your starts.
And then since this is your media availability, I had one non-Corey Heim question, if you don't mind. And when the lawsuit was settled and everything, you talked about working with NASCAR, you know, hand-in-hand and being promoting them and just being good partners. I'm curious now, since then, many months down the road, what has that relationship been like with them as you guys have moved forward together?
Yeah, it's really been good. I've had, you know, quite a bit of dialogue with Steve O'Donnell, quite a bit. Obviously, you know, allow me to sit in on the new competition committee with Chad Knaus and Wally Brown and Travis Geisler and a few others. To make, you know, decisions on the next Super Speedway package, things like that. It's been good. It's really been good. We've been working together, and you know, certainly, you know, after the All-Star win, it was, you know, I was talking to Ben Kennedy, talking to Steve O'Donnell about, here's where I think that maybe we could, you know, get back to kind of where we were. Even as the winner, you would think everything's fine, but, you know, I want to see the sport succeed. That's what's going to be best for me in the long run. So it's been a really good working relationship, and they've certainly delivered on everything they've promised us.
All right, we'll go to Zach for a follow-up. Go ahead.
Corey, I'm curious, what other numbers may you have been interested in if you had your choice?
I don't know. I mean,
I mean, it's nothing negative in saying
Yeah, I guess not. I've always liked 25. That's always been a cool one. I was asking about that one, and it sounds like that one's pretty locked up. So, you know, there's a handful that I had when I was younger that, I've always liked 11. Obviously, that's pretty locked up, I'd say, too. But I don't know. I was just kind of bouncing back and forth between different ideas.
I told him, it's tough. Tyler's been begging me for the 11. And I was just like, yeah, I just don't know. So y'all
I don't blame you, man. I don't. Yeah. I was just kind of bouncing ideas. It wasn't anything like super like, oh, I really, really want this number. I was just kind of bouncing ideas back and forth. Obviously, as a driver, you know, your number kind of plays into your brand and your personality. So with this being my first full-time Cup Series season next year, I wanted to, you know, I'd hope to keep that for a long time. And that'd be kind of my long-term number, you know. So I wanted to count. So it was kind of more of just a brainstorming exercise, not anything that I was, like, very heavily for or against by any means. So just bouncing some ideas.
And then going back to Jordan's question a minute ago about being so much younger than Denny, did you grow up a Hamlin fan then?
I did, yeah. He was my first guy for sure. Grew up going with my dad. He's right over there. He can tell you all about it. We're actually just looking at a picture. I think it was, what year was that picture that he showed me by the pit box? 2015 is I was standing on the grid of the Cook 600 next to his box with my Hamlin gear on and stuff. So just a really cool full circle thing for me, just to be driving for him. Obviously, I didn't have a team back then, so I never like had an aspiration to drive for Denny just because it didn't exist at that point. But just looking back on it, just can't make this stuff up. You know, it's pretty cool.
All right, we are going to take our last question up front from Dustin Long.
Dustin Long, USA Sports. Denny, with the things that have gone well and haven't gone well with this track, what is the personal relationship you have with this place, and what would it mean to finally get a guitar?
Yeah, I really, really want to win here pretty badly. So much that I can tell certain weekends, like people ask all the time, do you get nervous? I said, no, not anymore. Like I've just done it way too many times to get nervous. But on certain weekends where I really want to win, I do start getting a little nervous, like pre-practice, things like that, because I'm like, man, did I get my car right this week? There's certain trends that I look at that I'm like, oh, this might concern me or that might. So I end up getting caught up in the things that sometimes I can't control, worried about, you know, outcomes versus just worrying about the actual process, but this is one of them that it's like this is a track where I know I only got so many chances to go get a win here, and I've been so close over the last few years. But I love the racetrack, I definitely do, and certainly feel like it's been a very raceable racetrack over the last couple since they've worked the resin in and whatnot. So it's I'm a little nervous going into the weekend, truthfully.
And you have talked so much about trying to get the feeling for a race each weekend. With the changes this weekend, do you anticipate that changing the feeling? Or if you've been in a sim, does that the feel is essentially you're looking for the same thing as you looked at last year because there's not much of a difference?
Yeah, that's truthfully what I'm most worried about is if we would have came back with the same tire, same packages last year, then I have no worries or concerns. I know what I need to feel, this, that, or and the others, but it's just that there was a big, at this racetrack, the aerodynamic change feels, you know, very, very big. And so, you know, did I send the team down the right direction this week? We will find out shortly.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you both for spending some time with us this morning, or I should say this afternoon. Congratulations again on the announcement.
Thank you.